Hi, welcome to Coffee and Closers. I'm Nikolai Bedor, and I want to personally invite you to join me and one of today's top performing sales stars for a cup of coffee and authentic conversation. And our collective goal is that you will walk away with tangible knowledge that you can apply to your sales efforts today. Are you ready? Well, grab a cup, fill it up, and let's get into another episode of Coffee and Closers.
Closers, welcome to another episode of Coffee and Closers. For those of you that I have not met, my name is Nikolai Bedor. I'm the host of Coffee, the host of Coffee and Closers and the Chief Revenue Officer of Closers Media. So what does Closers Media do? We've been helping companies and founders, those responsible for revenue, close new revenue consistently over the past few years. But recently, with automation kind of taking a punch and a swing at good prospecting, at good outbound, the way to really connect with your prospects, it's damaged that. And so we now offer outreach as a service that focuses on relationship building, prospecting the right way, filling your pipeline up on your behalf with quality conversations with your ideal prospects. So if you're interested in being introduced to quality conversations at close, hit me up directly at Mikolai@closersmedia.com for more info. Okay, back to the show. And you guys, this is going to be a good one. Today's guest is one of the most awarded guests we've ever had on the show in the past four seasons. Mark, as you guys know him, the sales hunter, his books, blog, webinars, podcasts, heck, probably even his push-ups he does in the morning are taking home top honors year after year, which is why Selling Power, LinkedIn, you name it, have named him one of the top sales minds in the world and one of the top consultants in the field today. Pre-pandemic, Mark was on a plane 200 plus days a year, inspiring sales stars. And I'm sure with everything lifting, he's likely to get back to that. And prior to becoming the sales hunter that we all know and love, Mark led explosive growth at Fortune 500s like Kraft, Conagra, et cetera. And his new book, A Mind for Sales, is outstanding. It's going to be kind of at the core of today's topic, closers. Please give a massive Coffee and Closer welcome to Mr. Mark Hunter. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good with an intro like that. You could just keep talking and I'll just leave and go get another cup of coffee, okay?
Are you referring to the fact that you thought maybe it would never end? Is that?
Excuse me. Hey, my kids can tell you otherwise about me, okay? So,
Hey, 200 days a year, that's incredible, man. So for the closers that are listening for the first time today, or maybe just somehow have never heard of you, could you give us kind of your backstory? I got to enjoy a little bit, in our prep call, but you know, those who don't know the Sales Hunter, mind give us some background on your story?
Do you want me to tell a story as to how I got into sales?
Yes, please.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, I woke up with the last name of Hunter. So that meant I had to be in sales, right? Wrong. Yeah. No way. I went to college. My dream job in college was to be a disc jockey. That's a whole nother story, but you can't tell your parents that's what tuition money's going for. So I was getting a degree in marketing because that was kind of an easy, fun degree back then. And I was all set to go into marketing. And the problem was I was going to school in Seattle and my career changed literally spring quarter, my senior year. It changed because of the Seattle Police Department. Yes. The Seattle Police Department changed my career. I had this unique habit of speeding. I had a new car, speeding. I got four tickets in the course of about 6 weeks. Now, nobody was hurt. Nobody was harmed. No big deal. I paid the tickets and kind of ignored it. Problem was the insurance company did not. What happened soon thereafter was I get this notice in the mail that my insurance rate is going up. And when I mean up, it was going to be now more expensive than I was paying in rent and a lot more expensive than I was paying for my monthly car payment. So literally what happened was I couldn't afford two out of the three. I could barely afford the car and the apartment. Couldn't afford insurance on top of it. So what happened was I wound up getting a job that supplied me with a company car. Well, being an astute, brilliant college graduate, that meant a job in sales. So that is how I wound up in sales because of the Seattle Police Department. I was so good, I got fired from my first sales job. But it's okay, I got a second sales job with another company car. I got fired from that one. On my third job with a company car, I really thought I was going to get fired, but that's where finally I got turned around because what had happened was my whole impression of sales was my job is to treat you like a bowling pin. My job is to knock you over and take your money as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's what sales was. And my boss sat me down and said, hold it. It's about creating relationships. It's about understanding the needs of the customer. That then, I can't say it was overnight. Remember, I was not that smart. But over the next subsequent years, it changed my whole approach to selling. So today, I mean, for the last 20 years, I've been doing just this. I travel the world when I can and work with companies and sales teams on helping them do a better job of selling. What I like to say is I like to help people find and retain better prospects that they can close at full price.
Oh, that's I love that. Thank you for that intro. So you keynote, speaking of you keynote and you train on a number of topics, and I love all of them. And we'll try and cover as many as we can in this half hour. But since today is titled The Sales Mindset, it's based around your new book. Could you just tell us, what does that mean? And what inspired you to write a book on this topic?
What's funny is my first book was High Profit Selling, which was how to maximize the price. And I, hey, this is the story that's got to get told. I'm going to show you how to maximize my price. And I wrote the book, but then really it became pretty obvious that people were trying to sell at full price to people who didn't want to buy. Uh-huh. So that's what led me to write High Profit Prospecting, because I'm going to show you how to find that ideal customer profile. So I got done with that second book and I go, it's done. It's all in. Well, then people said, okay, you gave me the mechanics, but my mindset is not there. I mean, I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. So that's what caused me to write A Mind for Sales. Really what I was doing was the whole Star Wars prequel thing, you know, coming out with a movie and then, you know, you really should read A Mind for Sales first and then High Profit Prospecting, then High Profit Selling. But hey, like I said, I'm not that smart.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you figured it out. And here's the deal. You know, great sellers inform great marketers on what we're learning day by day by day, right? So I think that you informed yourself on, hey, we did this in reverse order, but now all three exist. So here we go. So talking about those books, I want to unpack this a little bit because, and again, about mindset. So I'm going to kind of tie them all together, if that's all right. You've got high profit prospecting and high profit selling. And when we're kind of working with our clients, we find that a lot of them are at two different, they're two different spaces. One is, I'm fearful of prospecting. I do not want to pick up that phone, but I got a lack of pipe and I know I have to. Or there are some that love prospecting, but they can't convert to save their, you know what. So why do you think these fears exist? And what advice can you offer to those who struggle with each?
The fears exist for one simple reason. Prospecting is the big fear.
Yeah.
And I look at this, I go, hold it. If you have the ability to help someone, and this is why I say, don't prospect anybody and everybody. Prospect your ideal customer profile, your ICP, your persona, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Stay focused in that lane. Those are people who you know you can help. Those are people who you know you can make a difference. And see, so I say, if I know I can make a difference with you, I have an obligation to reach out to you. In fact, if I don't reach out to you, I'm actually doing you a disservice. See, it's a complete 180 head spin. But that's my whole approach to prospecting. Because if you fit the profile, the person I can help, I owe it to you. Now, I know I don't want to hear. How do you know you don't want to hear from me? I'm going to share with you and I'm going to come into your life and I'm going to create a reason for you to have a conversation with me. On that other piece, yeah, they can't close. They can't close because you know what? It's like the life insurance salesperson who has 100 family members. And all they do is keep meeting with family members, keep feeding, you know, oh, they're having great conversations, but nobody really wants to buy from them.
Yeah.
You got to stay in your lane. When you stay in your lane, sales becomes absolutely a kick in the pants. I'm serious. This is like, people look at me like, you're weird. Well, I know I'm weird. But when you stay in your lane, it is amazing at how you can zero in on understanding the customer and then you truly make a difference. And what does that do? That changes your mindset. Your mindset is completely changed.
So, okay. So I'm going to take that a little bit further because ICP, buyer persona, like you're right. You see this everywhere. But what if I'm listening right now and I'm going, thanks for all the buzzwords, buddy, but I don't know how to define that. I don't know how to build that list. Where do I begin?
Well, where you begin is you pick up the yellow. No, don't pick up the yellow pages. I don't even think they exist anymore. take a piece of paper and write down all your current customers. Write down your current customers. Now, next to that, write down the outcomes that you helped them achieve. Not what you sold them, the outcomes that you helped them achieve. And what you want to begin looking at is the outcomes that you helped them achieve. And they say, who else is going to benefit from these same outcomes? That begins starting you down this journey of identifying who are the perfect people that you can serve. And then you begin to say, okay, are they in a particular industry? Are they in a particular geography? Are they a particular title, particular type of people? What's their background? What's the business they're in? All these various pieces, but you can begin to craft an image, an avatar of your ideal customer profile.
Right on. So I'm going to position to the other, which is converting. Now, one of the biggest obstacles that I see, there's a couple, okay, when it comes to on the back half. So we've got our upfront service that I just mentioned, and then we've got our courses and our so on for the conversion bits. But there's a few different places, but one of the biggest obstacles, other than the right types of qualifying, you know, how you qualify the right way, is helping clients overcome that maximize your maximizing price concept. I've really dug into that, and I really dig what you teach. But for those that haven't heard it, I'd love to hear how you approach price, because it seems to be the bottleneck, you know, at that phase of the sales process that really clips a lot of our clients.
Hey, first of all, anybody can sell free. It doesn't take a rock. It doesn't take somebody very smart to sell free. Right. Here's the whole thing. More discounts are given because of the false beliefs of the salesperson than are given based on the demands of the customer.
Yeah.
Chew on that for a bit. Now, here's what happens. See, we think, oh, well, this is overpriced. This is overpriced. It's not for me to determine value. It's for the customer to state the value that they're looking for. This is why two people can get on the same airplane. Remember pre-pandemic when we used to fly all the time? Yeah. And there'd be like 10 different levels of pricing. And you'd have one person only willing to pay X price and another person willing to pay quite a bit more. And they both think they're getting a good deal because they're meeting different outcomes. You see, you're not selling a product. You're not selling a service. You are selling an outcome. This is what you have to remain focused on. Real quick story. I was asked to do some work for a company that had a tremendous competitor that was going to come into their marketplace. And this company was fearful that their salespeople were going to get hammered on price. And I'm on the phone with the CEO, and he made the comment to me. He said, Mark, your price is really high. This is what he's telling me. Mark, your price is really high. You need to lower your price. And I said, no, I won't. How much business do you think you're going to lose when a new competitor comes into your marketplace? There's this pause. And he said, that was good. You're hired. You see, I was more money than everyone else he had been talking to, considerably more money. But I was the one that was addressing the problem. I was the one that was addressing the challenge. I was the one that was going to create the outcome that he needed. Focus on the outcome and you can get the price, and believe in your price. And this is the thing. See, this thing, when he said your price is too high, would you get it? There was no. Hold it. If you can't state your price with strong body language, solid voice, and eye contact, that customer knows there's a price discount to be had. Right. And they're going to hammer you for it. They are going to hammer you for it. And that's because, and then guess what? The salesperson rolls over and plays dead, gives them a discount because the salesperson didn't believe it. And all the customer is doing was saying, hey, why not ask? I might as well.
Right. So pre-price and setting, you know, the outcome, you know, kind of beginning at the end, when you have that first, that intake call or whatever you want to call it, you know, your first touch, your first live conversation with a prospect, how do you leverage outcome in that first, like, what advice do you have on running those first, that first touch, you know, before we even get into pricing, we want to talk about outcome.
Yeah. Well, I come right out and ask him, says, so what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're looking to achieve? And I ask it kind of in just this tone of voice, help me understand, what is it that you're looking to achieve? What is the problem? And I let them talk. Here's the thing. if I can get you to share with me what the problem is, what the challenge is, the gain you're looking for, the pain, whatever it might be, I call it the outcome. Early on in the prospecting phase, I can just keep working with that all the way through, all the way through. See, with this CEO I was talking to, we had learned early on that they had this competitor coming into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And we just kept building it, just kept working on it. And you might say, oh, you're playing the customer. No, I'm not. That's what the customer, that was the customer's problem. You see, customers, you know, people say, well, you can't sell, you know, no customers want to be sold. They want to buy. I don't think they want to buy. They want to invest. They want to invest because they want to achieve an outcome. They're looking for a solution. That's what I want to do. I want to help them see that this investment makes absolute sense.
Ah, I like that. I've never heard that. They don't want to buy. They want to invest.
I don't care what it is you sell. You know, I go to the grocery store. I buy some food. Am I buying? No, I'm investing because I want this for dinner. I want this for a snack. I want this for, you know, whatever. Everything we do is an investment because we're looking for something in return. It may just be, hey, I want to go buy this new outfit. I want, oh, guess what? We're going back to work. It means I got to buy some clothes that fit from the waist down. Okay. What is it? The outcome, I'm looking for clothes that fit.
Well, okay. So a lot of this, like when it gets to pricing or gets to even that first discovery, is how you present your thoughts, how you present your solution to their challenge, how you present, you know, the outcome that where we're going to end. You present 200 plus, you know, days a year, but you do it via multiple mediums, you know, multiple mediums, which is super impressive. What are 2 to 3 key secrets that we should all know about how to effectively present in regards to sales process?
Drink a lot of coffee. No. I'm sorry. I had to work that in somewhere, right?
Let me write that down here. Let me find a pen.
You got to work that in. Come on. This is, I mean, coffee closers, you know, here we go. Here's the whole thing. You reach the customer on whatever medium they want to communicate with. You know, I've got customers that I deal almost exclusively by way of text on. I've got a couple of SaaS customers and we pretty much just text back and forth. I have other clients where it's always on a Zoom call, other clients where it's email. As salespeople, we have to be bilingual. We have to be trilingual. No, we have to know every language out there. The language of email, the language of Teams, of Zoom, of whatever it might be. And all I'm doing, my whole goal is not to do the talking. You see, the best sales presentations ever made are the presentations never given.
Ah,
chew on that one, because what am I saying here? I know my content. I know my message. I know what I can do so well. I don't need a presentation, because that's the last thing you want to have is have another salesperson share with you another presentation.
Yes.
You want to have a conversation. So I want to go in. I tell people, I said, if you would spend more time developing the 10 questions you want to ask than you do developing the PowerPoint presentation or what you want to share, you'd be much better off. Now, you're probably never going to get through those 10 questions. Heck, probably only going to get through 2 or 3 because it's just going to take off and run and run. And here's what's funny. When I'm in a sales presentation, and this scares a lot of people, I let the customer drive. Let them drive. They're the ones that got to make the decision, right? So let them drive. Too many salespeople, and this one of my non-confident salespeople and salespeople who don't know their stuff, they feel they have to be in control every moment. I don't. I let the customer drive. I'm going to keep driving you. I'm going to keep steering you back into position with another question, with another comment, something like that. But I'm going to let you drive. And here's what's interesting. If you feel like you're driving, you're going to share with me a lot more information. You are just going to let it roll. That's how I understand the value. Now think about this. I can only do that if I'm incredibly confident. That is what having a mind for sales is all about. I'm confident enough that I can just let this conversation run.
Boy, that is something. How does that, I'm just, and I'm fast. How does that look? Like, how does that work? You know, they drive. Do they they run the small talk until it ends. Did they kick off?
Well, no, I mean, I'll give you an example. I was on a sales call this morning, and there are going to be five people on it. This is a carpool sales call. Two people from my company, three from the other company, and a couple of us are on the call, and we're just talking about cleaning out our basements. I happened to be cleaning out my basement over the weekend. This other person from the other company, she had been cleaning out her basement. The other people get on the call, and I just start. Now, remember, this is a sales pitch. And I say, so, hey, help me. Walk me through, what are some of the challenges? What are some of the issues that you're facing? And I just sat there and listened. And what was interesting was there were three people in the other company. One person jumps on and says, and then she goes, oh, hey, Tony, what do you think about this? And suddenly what it is they're starting to ask each other. And I'm just sitting here just listening, taking notes. But now what have I got? I've got all kinds of information that I can come back to them with. All kinds of information that I can come back. And what does that allow me to do? It allows me to now demonstrate my expertise, because afterwards I was able to pop each one of them an individual email back just real quick. Hey, thanks for sharing this. And it's interesting. I'll be anxious to get more insight from you on this. And I just throw that out to them. What does that do? They begin seeing me in a different light. Mm-hmm. You see what this is about? What I want to, the sale process does not end on the sales call.
Right.
That's just the start. My objective, a good salesperson, is one who is able to elongate the sales process.
Yeah.
Not in terms of time, but in terms of the dialogue. In other words, we agreed that we'd have a follow-up meeting on Friday. And okay, so we're doing this on a Monday and going to have a follow-up meeting on Friday. But in between Monday and Friday, I intend to have probably two or three email conversations and maybe even a phone call conversation with each one of them.
Yes.
What does that do? It helps me understand the value that they're looking for.
Wow. Oh, this is good. I love this job.
I do too.
I have a question though, because you said 10 questions and I know I have mine, but I'd love to hear it. Not all 10, but what are two or three, what are your absolute favorite questions to ask in this process that maybe opens them up or directs them in a way?
One of the questions I love to ask is, what are the issues that you've been finding up to now that are starting to create more of a problem for you? Yeah, that's kind of a long question. I get it. I really don't care how they answer it, but it gets them thinking. And then what I do is whenever they share with me something, what I do is I come back and I ask them a follow-up question on what they just shared with me. What does that do? That demonstrates a tremendous amount of, wow, that salesperson is actually listening. That salesperson actually heard what I said. That's incredible. I can't believe it. And what do? They share with me more information. Because as soon as they understand, they know that you value their opinion. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what they'll share. In fact, right now, that is the magic word. The magic word to be asking is opinion. And on the sales call this morning, I asked a couple times. I said, hey, so what's your opinion on what's been working and what's not been working? And there's just something, because we've all been kind of locked up for way too long. Mm-hmm. And we all have opinions. I let people share them. And it's amazing. I mean, we had probably a 35-minute call. And I bet myself and the other person on my team, we talked maybe 5% of the time at the most. I'll be generous, 10%. Yeah, that's a successful sales call. I let the customer drive.
Sell with your ears. That is, let the customer drive opinion. Man, I'm so glad we're recording this. This is great. So I'm going to switch because I only have a couple. I want to go so much deeper, Mark. Maybe we will. I only got a couple questions left. And unfortunately, I want to make sure that we stay respectful of the time. But the questions, I got to ask one more on the questions. Opinions, asking for their opinion, right? The question that you ask when you feel like I think this is going to advance to the next stage in our sales process. What is that question that seals that up as an absolute bolded capital yes? We are ready. We are willing to move to the next stage in your process.
Yeah, there are two questions that I love asking, and it depends on the tempo and how I feel. What would you like to do as the next step? And think about that. Now, that's dangerous. That is like, wow, how can you ask that? Yeah, but you know what? If you're confident, what would you like to do as the next step? You know? Now, or I'll turn around and sit there and say, okay, so I understand that the critical issue we're trying to solve is X. How do you see the best solution for that coming together? See, so it's either, hey, what would you like to do as next step? Or I take what I have heard as the biggest outcome and I frame that around a question. And again, I'm letting them drive. People say, you got to have a specific call to action. Well, sure, I can have a specific call to action and I'm going to get a specific call to action. Oh, okay. Well, we'll get back together at Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And I go, no. Now, where do I go? Okay. You see, now I can recommend a second time. I get all that. But here's the thing. See, if I have a solid mindset, this is the whole thing about a mind for sales. If I have a mind for sales, mm-hmm. my objective is now to get you to have a mind for investing. Uh-huh. That's the simple solution. Now, and I can't get you to have that unless you really understand. See, here's the whole thing. If I can share with you what I think is the problem, and you may or may not believe me, but when I can get you to articulate what the problem is, you really believe it. You really buy into it. Then boom.
When is that eureka moment that you realize I love that. I've never heard the invest thing versus buy. I love that. But like when you see the light bulb go off where they go, I think I'm ready to invest.
Yeah. When they take their biggest challenge and they now equate it to time. In other words, okay, I've got to take care of this solution. And wow, we've got to get this done within the next 2 months or next month or something like that. When they take their biggest challenge and equate it to time, you know, there's boom, I can close this deal. And then it's a matter of only the price point. And again, this is one of the key things. The lower you are selling into an organization, the more price is an issue. You get up to the top level, price is not an issue. It's not, price doesn't even come on the radar screen. In fact, they will discredit you if you're too cheap. They will discredit you because there's this perception that price, a high price equals really good value. I mean, there's just a perception of that. So I'll be happy to help you believe that.
Now, I have to ask you a personal question is, you know, to let them drive and you know, have them drive, which I absolutely love. Does that stem back to the 4 speeding tickets that you got back in the day? And maybe you're like, you know, maybe I shouldn't drive anymore. I'll let you drive. Is that any correlation?
That really does. But officer, can't you see the person next to me? I'm rushing him to the hospital. Oh yeah, that doesn't work too well. And did you know that driving on the left-hand side of the road is not something we do here in the US? Ah. Just so you can avoid an intersection? Just little, you know, tidbits for you.
So you practicing European driving, that didn't fly?
I was practicing one particular ticket. There was a median. And the problem is if I drove around the right-hand side of the median, I'd have to slow my speed. And I could keep my speed up a lot faster if I just went on the left-hand side of the median, which was really fine until the oncoming car, which was still about a half block away, happened to be a police officer. Mm-hmm.
Ah, I see.
Blue lights look good in your windshield. Just saying.
Ah, this is too fun. All right. So I've got 3 questions that I want to ask and I only get to ask one. So I'm going to do my best and then I'm going to let you go because I know you have another That's amazing okay. show to be on right after this. And this is the question. Okay. You have had a lot of success over a lot of years and us being salespeople, we're in the business of collecting no. So we hear no, and we make mistake after mistake. And I think the best of us, we learn from those mistakes. Do you have an example of maybe best advice you ever received that crafted your thought, or even better, a failure, you know, a colossal failure that you had in your, during your career that taught you all of these, you know what I mean? Like that kind of shifted your mindset to say, okay, from now on, I'm going to do this. Do you have that pivotal failure that turned you into the hunter that you are?
Yeah, I'm going to share with you a couple of them, because it was the failures I was doing early on. It's why I got fired, because I was selling a product. I was just 100% dead set on the product, and I didn't care what the expectation was I created. I didn't really care.
Yeah,
because I got the commission. I moved on. So that is one big thing. I think the big thing is, even to this day, no is only a moment in time. And that challenges us so much, because again, I go, okay, if I hear no, it's okay. And okay, it's a move on. I know, but it's painful. Nobody likes to lose. Mm-hmm. But here's what I look at it this way. Look at the number of shots Michael Jordan missed.
Right.
Look at the number of at-bats Ken Griffey had that didn't go anywhere. Look at all of the dropped passes Rob Gronkowski has had. It doesn't take away. They're still incredibly successful. So we will have failures in life. It's A-OK. Just move on. I say, I want to fail fast and learn faster. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something that I always absolutely keep in mind. And that is, we have to play the long game. We get into peaks and valleys because we are playing the short game. And this is what devastates salespeople. I talk in my book about having 25-year goals. 25-year goals. The most successful salespeople, sure, they're wired in on making this quarter's number. I get that. But you know what? They're playing the long game. They're looking at lifetime customer value. They're looking at where they want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. And when you begin putting things into perspective and looking at the long game, it changes. And suddenly that no that you hear today, no big deal. Because tomorrow, every day starts anew. Every day starts fresh. And, you know, I may have had an ugly no, but I don't know when that next phone call is suddenly going to turn into an unbelievable yes.
Right.
And I got to be ready for that. My attitude and mindset going into a call is going to determine the outcome I achieve from the call.
Amen. That is how you end an episode. Closers, there you have it. I told you. What an incredible conversation, Mark. Guys, light up the chat box and show Mark some love. This was an incredible conversation, and to be honest, one of my favorites. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And I have a question for you, is to make sure that our closers community supports you and your mission and all your books and all this stuff. Where is the easiest spot to go to support you?
Well, email me your credit card information. No. TheSalesHunter.com. That's the best place. That's my website. And yes, Hunter is my real last name. The Sales Hunter is trademarked. Don't think you can steal it, but TheSalesHunter.com. We got all kinds of free content. Free. What did I say? Free. Yeah, I'm giving it away to you. There's a lot of stuff out there. Hey, pick up my book, A Mind for Sales or High Profit Prospecting. I tell you what, my whole sales is not a solo activity. Sales is a team sport. And we are all, the entire closer community, we're all on the same team. Our job is to support one another. That's how we make sales an absolute kick in the pants profession. No, it's not a profession. It's a lifestyle, mm-hmm. because we live it 24/7.
Oh, thank you, brother, for everything that you are, for being a part of this community the way you are, and for you know, just lifting this craft up. For our new listeners and those part of the community, make sure that you go to closersmedia.com to stay up when this episode drops. I can't wait. And for Mark, we're going to have some links in here to thesaleshunter.com and some other things, so you guys can go directly to check that out, books and all that kind of stuff. Every single one of them is gold, and there's so much value packed into them. Thank you all for joining us, Mark. Thank you.
All right. So what do we think? What'd you learn? Well, if you like that, check out coffeeclosers.com for upcoming episodes, recordings, and more. And don't forget to check out our sponsors. Each one has been hand-selected. They're best in class. Until next time, We'll see you at the next Coffee and Closers. Cheers.
Say live, come on, live. Live a life we love. Gotta live. I said live. Live a life we love.